God's grace and his peace be with you today from Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Today, I'd like to talk with you about the church and especially what do you think God really wants of us when we come to church on Sunday? What is he after when we come to worship? Do you think he's happy and pleased simply because we're here? Is he overjoyed, satisfied, and totally content simply because we've arrived and we're in the pew? Or is there something more that he's after? Well, let's take a look at that today about attending church and what does God really want for us when we're here? What does God say about that to us through his holy word? Well, what can we say? First thing we can say is, I think, absolutely crystal clear in Scripture, is God is pleased when his people come together to worship. Now listen to what actually God says here through the author of the Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 10, where that author says, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." So, should we neglect to meet together? Should we just stay home as Lone Ranger Christians and not come to church? Is that going to please God? No, he loves it when we come together to stir each other up, to encourage each other in the faith, that we might increase in the truth. And I've met many people in my life who claim the name of Christ and say, "I'm a Christian," but they rarely, if ever, come to church or gather in corporate worship. They're going against this word and this command. Now, it reminds me of the story of a man who rarely came to church, and his pastor once leaned over to him on his way out when he was shaking hands, and he said, "I'd really like to see you in the Lord's army." The man said, "I am in the Lord's army." He said, "Then why do I never see you here on Sundays, except this one Sunday a year?" And he said, "Because I'm in the Lord's secret service." There is no secret service in the Lord's army. We are called into corporate worship in our faith. God even commands it here, Hebrews chapter 10, commands it in the Old Testament days, that there are feast days and times to come together in holy assembly. How about Jesus in his lifetime? What do we read in Luke 4? Jesus came to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up, and he went to the synagogue as his custom was on the Sabbath day. He was a regular. He was there every Saturday, every Sabbath. Our Lord himself attended church. And in the New Testament, in Acts chapter 2, fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles, and all who believed were together and had all things in common, and day by day attending the temple together, breaking bread in their homes, they partook with glad and generous hearts, praising God. So, does God want us to be together in corporate worship? Is that pleasing to him? Absolutely. And you believe that, but there are many out there today who are home and just think they're going to get it on TV or something. That's not what God wants. It's the way of a Christian. And people who neglect this, often to be a Lone Ranger Christian, forget that there are many byways that butt down upon the straight and narrow path of truth. And not in the corporate worship of God, they go astray in these ways, never to be found again. And so it's important for us to come to church. That's point number one. Point number two is that just the coming to church is not what pleases God. How do we know that? Where's that written? Well, you can take a look at Isaiah chapter 1. Let's see, the people were coming to church, that is gathering in assemblies. Let's see what God has to say to them. "Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the teaching of our God, you people of Gomorrah," says Isaiah. "What to me is the multitude of your sacrifices," says the Lord. "I've had enough of burnt offerings and rams and the fat of fed beasts. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or of he-goats. When you appear before me, who requires of you this trampling of my courts? Bring no more vain offerings. Incense is an abomination to me. I hate it. New moon and Sabbath and the calling of assemblies, I cannot endure iniquity and sound solemn assembly. Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hates. They've become a burden to me, and I'm weary of bearing them." Does it sound like God's happy with their worship services? No. You know, a lot of people get wearied and burdened with worship services. So does God, right? He's very angry with them in this case. And why is he angry? Is it because he doesn't like new moons or Sabbaths or solemn assemblies? No, he commands those at times in the Old Testament. But he's angry with them because his people were coming together to do this simply for the doing of those things. As a custom, as a ritual, as religion only, as ceremonies, without the spirit of truth, without a living relationship with God, and without love for one another. They came to church on Sunday, if you will, or Saturday for their case, and they wanted to look good and look very religious, as we saw the people that Jesus spoke with in the gospel lesson for today. They washed their hands. They had their purification of their cups. But Jesus was angry with them. And he was angry in Isaiah here too. He says, when you spread forth your hands, this is verse 15, I will hide my eyes from you, says the Lord. Even though you make many prayers, I'll not listen. Why? Because your hands are full of blood. They came to church on Sunday or Saturday in their case, but by Monday, but through the rest of the week, there was no relationship. There was no love. And it was just debunked. It was hateful in God's sight. He can't stand that kind of religion. Do you think there's that kind of religion today? Where people go to church and they want to look really good because they got their hats on or they're all dressed up and I went to church on Sunday. Check mark. I'm a religious person. God must be pleased. And look how much better I am than those people over there. And you know, the rest of your week, your hands are full of blood. You know what? God hates that kind of religion. He abhors that kind of worship, the kind where you just go through the motions, but it's not a living relationship with him. That happened to the Corinthian church. Remember, Paul says, and the following things, I do not commend you, he told the church, because when you come together, it's not for the better, but for the worse. You've seen churches like that? It'd be better if they never met. Right? Because it gets worse when they come. They had the Lord's Supper, like we have this morning. They were getting drunk. They were having people going away hungry, many not even eating. And God's judgment on them, some got weak, some got ill, some died. God hates religion if it's only religion and not love and relationship. Amen? It's not the kind of thing God enjoys. Jesus said, woe to you, Pharisees, for you tithe the mint, the dill, and the cumin, according to the law, but you neglect justice and the love of God. That's what real religion's about. You love looking religious, but you don't love doing religion. And God hates that. He says, you hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you when he said, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. And then Jesus is quoting there, Isaiah 29. Listen to this carefully. Apply it to us. Their fear of me is a commandment of men learned by rote. By rote. What's that mean? By memory. Remember when you did the catechism? If any of you went through the Luther catechism? You learned it by rote, by memory. And that's good to memorize scripture and teachings and stuff. But if it's just by rote, and you come here to church on Sunday and go, I'm an automatic pilot. I know this service. I can go through it in my sleep and just drift through it. That's not the kind of worship God is after on cruise control. And so it's not an outward show that God is after. It's not to just get a little check on your checklist. And so religion by itself, if it's only religion, the keeping of rites and practices and services and ceremonies, that doesn't please God at all. It's dead in his sight. And God's not fooled by it. Let me ask you, who persecuted Jesus in his life? Prostitutes, tax collectors, harlots, sinners? No. They actually really rejoiced to have him around. He told them you can have a living relationship with God through the grace of his forgiveness. Who hated him? It was the super extremely religious people of his day. They couldn't stand it because he wouldn't keep their traditions. And he was upsetting their apple cart. He was exposing that they were just whitewashed walls. They were beautiful-looking tombs, but inside dead men's bones. And they persecuted him and wanted to kill him. And Jesus didn't like them either very much. He entered the temple and drove out all those who sold and bought in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold the pigeons. And he said, "It is written, my house shall be a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of robbers and thieves." And so, religion, is that what God's after? If it's only like just outward show? No. What is God after? What's he really want from us? What is he after today in our worship and all of our lives? And in fact, answer, listen carefully, that you know him. That you know him in truth. And that you have a living, breathing, vibrant, alive relationship with him in your life. On Sunday in corporate worship and throughout the rest of your week. Monday through Saturday. That you're alive. Listen to what God says here in our Old Testament today. Reading Jeremiah 9. "Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, who practice steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, says the Lord." What is God after? That we know him, and personally so. That's the purpose of our religion, our scriptures, our truth, our teachings, his commandments, that we know him personally. Do you know him personally? Does that make coming together today exciting for you, and the Lord's Supper, and the readings of the scriptures, and the sermon? Paul says, "For his sake I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as refuse, in order that I may gain religion." No. "In order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own, but a religion based on faith that is through him, the righteousness from God. That I may know him." Say that. That I may know him. That's what he's after. "And the power of his resurrection, share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that if possible, I may attain the resurrection of the dead." You know what Jesus says about this? About this personal relationship that I'm talking about? John 17. "And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." What is eternal life? It's a living relationship with God through Jesus Christ. It's to know God, it's to know Jesus. If you don't know God or Jesus, even if you look religious and have all the form, that's not salvation. It's a knowing him personally, faith. John the Apostle says in his letter, chapter 5, "The Son of God has come and given us understanding to know him." Say it again. All right, "to know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life." So it's a relationship with him. Why do you come to church then? Can't you just have a relationship outside of church? Sure, you have a relationship with him all your days outside of church, but why do you come here? God's commanded it, it's pleasing to him, and this is where we encourage each other in it. And Jesus and God the Father comes here to teach us. This is where he speaks to us. This is where you hear the truth of the faith by which you are saved, through faith in Christ. We got to watch out for something here. It's told us in the last days, 2 Timothy 3, verse 5, that people will be holding the form of religion, but denying the power of it. Avoid such people. So, you think that's the case today in churches, and hopefully not here? But that you go there, and you look good. You look real good. You know, you went to church, and you go to church functions, and you might even mow the lawn. That's a good thing, Poglers. But that, if it's only that, is not the faith, but a living relationship with Jesus Christ. I met a guy on my boat the other week. He was a U.S. Marine. He'd been in combat in Iraq. He also said he grew up in a certain church of, I won't say which denomination, but he said super legalistic, couldn't go to movies, dance, a whole bunch of things, no alcohol, couldn't swim in the ocean because that was public bathing. And he said, he told me, and I'll tell you the quote. He said, "I have more post-traumatic stress disorder in my life from growing up in that church of religion than I do from being in war, in combat." Okay? Religion by itself alone kills and produces either self-righteousness on the one hand, look how good I am and look how bad you are, or despair on the other hand, I can't keep all these rules. But true faith, true religion, true relationship in Jesus Christ produces joy. I'm forgiven. I'm saved. Let me go out and share that with other people and love as I've been loved. And what kind of relationship does God want you to have with him? Which you learn here in the company of the faithful. Rituals, prayers, and liturgies as we do are fine. God likes that if they're done with a heart. But he wants, guess what? A personal relationship with you. Can we read that? Can I read that to you? Psalm 139 here. Listen to what David says. "Oh Lord, you've searched me. You know me. You know when I lie down and when I get up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down, and you are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, Lou, oh Lord, you know it all together. You've beset me behind before. You lay your hand upon me." And then he says, "Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I can't attain it." Does that sound personal to you, or is that just like, check, I went to church today? No, that's personal. That's what God wants you to have with him. He wants you to pour out your heart. Naomi and I sometimes go anchor out on the boat, and we have these sweet conversations under the moon and the stars out there in the river all by ourselves. Do you sit down with God like that, like the picture on our bulletin here? The man sitting with Jesus there on the park bench. Do you talk with him like that? Jesus says, don't heap up empty phrases when you talk to God like the Gentiles do. They think they're going to be heard because they have many words. But instead, your Father knows what you need, even before you ask him. So pray then like this: "Our Father who art in heaven." And guess what? Father, Savior, brother, friend, these are the words God names himself in his relationship with you in the scriptures. That's personal. He wants your relationship, second, to be filled with joy, love, and delight. Psalm 37 says, "Take delight in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart." Do you have delight in him? Let me tell you something here. Secret. If you have only religion and ceremonies, you're not going to delight in him. If it's only laws and rules, you're not going to delight in him. If you hear the gospel, how he loves you, then you're going to delight. And you're going to want to walk in his ways because he saved you. "The joy of the Lord is our strength," says Nehemiah. A relationship of hope. "For he did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all." Isn't he going to give us all things too with him? A relationship where we can lean on him in the good, the bad, and the ugly of life. Just because you have a relationship with him doesn't mean that you're not going to face hard times. Through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. But you know what he promises? "I'll be with you. I'm going to be with you in the good, the bad, and the ugly. I'm going to be with you when I lead you beside still waters and restore your soul." That's going to be awesome. "I'm going to be with you in the bad times when your enemies surround you. I'll lay a table out and we'll sit down and eat. I'm going to be with you in the ugly times when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Don't worry, my rod and my staff are going to comfort you because I'm personally with you. And in that you can delight." That's personal. You know, I had a prisoner I talked to this week. He actually got a conviction he wasn't looking for. He was found guilty and he's going to be in prison now, not just for a year, potentially 15, 30 years. And he said, "Pastor, will you leave me or forsake me?" He says, because he's feeling all bad. I said, "You know, sir," or I know his name, "but do you have anybody on the outside else who cares for you, a family or a friend?" He says, "No, you're the only one." I said, "I'll not leave you nor forsake you. God, help me to do it." But you know what? God says, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you in anything of life, good, bad, or ugly." That's the kind of relationship he wants with you. Where you pour out your heart to him. Psalm 94 says, "When the cares of my heart are many, thy consolations cheer my soul." You sad today? Pour out your heart to him. He says, "I'm going to cheer you up." That's what I do. A relationship of trust. When Naomi was little, I've told you this before, I used to be able to chuck her way up high into the sky. And she'd be a little scared at first, but she'd learn each little one higher that I'm going to catch her. And I could really launch her. Whoa! I'd catch her, and I'd catch her every time. Was she scared? She laughed. The higher she goes, the more she enjoys it. Why? Trust. She knew I was going to catch her. And God wants you to know he's going to catch you. And that he wants you to have that kind of trust that when you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. Through the rivers, they'll not overwhelm you. And when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Is that the kind of personal relationship that you have with him? What does it say there in Micah chapter 6? Let's hear about religion and relationship. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God Most High? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with the thousands of rams and 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression and the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has showed you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but this? To do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. That's it. To walk humbly with your God. He wants you to enjoy corporate worship, be built up in the truth, have a living relationship with him in the truth of the scriptures, and then walk with him in love to him and to each other. That's true religion, friends. That's what it's all about. So is our Christianity a religion or a relationship? Yes, it's both. It's very popular in the 60s and 70s. It's a relationship, not a religion. And that's partially true. It is a relationship. But guess what? It's a relationship based on religion, namely the truth that God has revealed to us in the scriptures, the commandments, what right to do and what's wrong, what's good for you and what's not, and to walk with him in it, living, breathing, alive, and forgiven. Because we're not just going to have any relationship with him, right? A lot of people say, I have a relationship with God, but it's not based on the truth. So it's a religion and a relationship and a religion based on this, that we have a right standing with him through Jesus Christ. God in Christ reconciled the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. And we have a friendship, a trust in our God and Creator through Christ who died for our sins, the righteous for the unrighteous he died, that he might bring us to God. So walk in that relationship today. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And therefore we can say this, along with Isaiah 58, God says, take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride upon the heights of the earth. So let's consider then how to stir up one another to love and to good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see his day drawing near. Amen.